I will try to be brief tonight, but a very important message for us tonight. And this message we find it in the words of Jonathan, who says in verse 6, verse 6, the second part of it, which says, "Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. For God to save us does not depend on our circumstances, but it does depend on few facts that we need to see from the text that we have before us today. So what is the first things that we need to see? We have a situation where the people of God were besieged by their enemies and they were cut off from the sources of life. And even we see now Saul himself, even he withdrew from the capital place where he was there. He withdrew because he couldn't stand to face the enemy. We read in the chapter 13 how they had no armies, that they had no armories, they had no weapons. And so people who were really in a position to be wiped out by their enemies. But God is faithful to his promise. So that is the situation. The situation they have here is they cannot even go and fight the enemy. They had to withdraw. Well, here we read also that as the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 14, one day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And so the first things I want to share with you, that an attitude that you need to have, a mindset that you need to have, is that when your situation seems to be really hopeless, is to have in your mind that faith in the character of God himself. Because Jonathan, he alone, now is attempting to go and fight a huge army that is really defeating his own people. And so what he got here in his mind, he believes that God can give him a victory. That is against the reality, isn't it? How can you go and defeat an army that could not be even defeated by 6,000 men? Because Paul say here in chapter 2, in verse 2, says Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men. 600 men who will not dare to go and attack their enemy. So how about just one person with a guy who is carrying his arm? You see, probably this guy has no weapons. So the only weapon they have here, maybe, I'm just guessing, but maybe he has some, because he had to kill as well himself. But even two of them, how can they do something like that? Was it not faith? Because this is what really he says this in verse 6. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outposts of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf." You see, so he got this in his heart. He got a faith that he distinguished himself from his enemies. He called them uncircumcised. They are not people of God. You know, circumcision here means more than just a flesh. It's uncircumcision of a heart. It's the people who do not glorify the God of heaven and the earth. These are not believers, and these are enemies of God, because God is looking to the time when he will send his son, that even his enemies will be saved if they turn to him. But now is not the time. Jesus hasn't come yet. And now God, these people, God's people, they have to be established in the land. And then the enemies are determined to wipe out God's people. God has to fight. And he said they have to go. And this man, he got this in his mind. he has a faith and he knows who he is. You see, this is the first things you need to know. When your circumstances looks really oblique and the situation around you, you need to know who you are and whom you have believed. This is the first step towards a victory, towards really God moving also to bless us. So the worst things we can ever do is just like we are assessing by our natural eyes, our natural mind, and even our physical state. This, if we think that way, we will be wiped out. We cannot be a people of God. Because unless we are saying one thing, that the power lies with us. Our salvation, we save ourselves. Unless we got to that point. But if we have a mindset like of Jonathan, we will see God moving and working. So he distinguished himself and he called these people uncircumcised fellows. Sometimes when someone say like, oh, this fellow, you see, it's a negative thing, isn't it? I say, well, because that was what really the Pharisees said, oh, why this fellow is talking like that, Jesus? It's belittling them, him, you know? But he called them like this. Perhaps he used this word in that sense. And also, if we go back, I think Michael said one day that I preach like Hebrews. You see, like, yes, please bear with me because I'm bringing these things just from the text. I'm not doing it just this way. I want to go back to tell you also that Jonathan has also in his mind that he doesn't want to be discouraged by anyone. See, he didn't even tell his dad. Verse 1, the last part of verse 1. But he did not tell his father. You remember his father was rejected. He failed completely. He failed God. He failed God himself. And Jonathan, on the account of the failure of his father, is not going to be the king, even though he was going to make a very good king. Chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. That 13 to 14. That is when Saul was rejected. Verse 13 of chapter 13. You acted foolishly, Samuel said to Samuel, when he didn't wait for him, when he was told to wait at Gilgal. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. That means for generations to come. His house. But he has been rejected. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. But also God, he's a fair God. Though he would judge a body, but at the same time, he will honor the faith of a one person. He wouldn't really discredit the faith of Jonathan. He honors that because he lifted up the character of God. And so again, even when everybody around you is failing, when everybody around you is saying something that is so discouraging, so you should have a heart like of Jonathan, who has belief in the character of the living God and would declare to himself that I must go. Perhaps the Lord, he calls him the Lord. I didn't have time to shake the Lord in the Hebrew. But this is no lesser than the Yahweh himself. He is the Lord who is close to his own people. He perhaps, this is faith. Maybe the Lord will save us. So Jonathan came with that attitude. And an attitude like that, God will not overlook. A heart that is shining with faith in the character of God against the odds, when everything around them is saying the opposite. And so the call of God for us, and so you have heard me a few weeks ago saying that we are, and I remember this phrase that I have said, that we are saturated with the idea that it's going to be harder, and so it's going to be harder for the Christians, and so and it's going to look oblique, and so forth. So what are we preaching? discouraging the hearts of our people. This is not what God would want us to have. Because that is not what the Bible says. It's getting harder, pressure on us, but if we pray harder and have faith more, you see, perhaps the Lord will act in our own behalf. Perhaps the Lord may surprise us by outpouring of His Holy Spirit and to deliver His church, His body, to give Him power, to give her power again to rise, and to people to rise and share a word, and word will come with anointing. And I think the reason people are saying it's harder because people's hearts are hard. So you say the word of God is just like this. It's like a newspaper, isn't it? But it's not because God is failing. Maybe we didn't have the faith of Jonathan. Perhaps we didn't believe. So this is Jonathan. Also, as I mentioned, that Jonathan didn't tell his father because father was full of unbelief. And you see, he is insisting on his unbelief. Read verse 2. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, army, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod as a priest. He was a son of Hechabod's brother, Ahitab, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli. A failed priesthood. So now we understand that Samuel didn't die yet, has not died yet, isn't it? And yet Saul is turning away from a man of God to seek wisdom and encouragement from a people from whom the glory of God has departed. That is the nature of sin and unbelief. Always people will just resort to psychology and things of like natural things and church growth and books written by other people. When we have the word of God with us and have this power of the Holy Spirit with us, and when God is calling us to have faith. Look, this man, he is just so insistent on his failure. Jonathan didn't tell him, even though that is his dad. These are really preconditions for a journey that can know the victory of God and the winsome presence of the loving God and also the comfort of His presence. And so this is a challenge to us tonight as God's body. Well, I know we might be feeling things. And I said to Don earlier in the office that it is good for us to feel these things. Maybe we can have the heart of Jonathan. Maybe we can know that God saves His own people only if they believe and they dissociate themselves from unbelief and the people who would want to drag them down and not to have their eyes focusing on the mighty God, the God who has saved us when we were sinners and dead in our sins. He sent His Son. And when it was looking so dark, we were going down the hill, at least I can't speak of myself. If it was not God's grace, where will I be today? So just reading this sophisticated text, becoming so complicated in the mind, when the realities was just so weak, I could feel it and I could see it. It was just so earthly. My heart was just longing for something so wonderful, beautiful. But where is it? Just for those of you who didn't hear this testimony before. After I finished the university in Cairo in Egypt, I trained as a high school teacher, physics and chemistry. My son today, who wouldn't want me to help him. So, yeah, I was just reading the things around the Arab world, the Middle East, the conflict in Israel. We're reading a lot about the Afghanistan. The problem since 1992 to this day, it's not solved. We just had Taliban. Just imagine. If I had believed the theories they were presenting, that will be a disaster, isn't it? Because nothing is happening. The conflict in Israel is the same things. No matter how much they write, these people, like the intellectuals, proposing how many conference, United Nations involvement. How many? Poverty in the world has only just increased. You see? So there were a lot of things. People were writing, trying to solve these problems. And I was despairing. look, it was only when the Lord touches me, so that he rescued me from the things that I was seeing and reading about. And if anyone among us today is trying to find comfort in all in these things, in writing and reading things that are not of God, predictions, so you will be lost. Come to the Lord and just read his word and hear what he says here. Well, Jonathan, he repeated this word most of the time. And I want to repeat this word. Come, let us go over to the Philistines. Come, come with me tonight to fix our eyes on our God, to fix our eyes on Jesus, and to call upon his great name for whatever situation we are facing. Philistines, do we have Philistines? What are the difficulties that you are facing today? Who is your Philistine? Miracle from God? God can do it. I only spoke with a young man yesterday by name Shaul, a Dinka boy. He visited us because yesterday we buried one of our cousins who passed away 2 weeks ago. She lives in Chadderton. She left behind 5 children and 2 grandchildren. We were devastated, but the service was full of faith yesterday. I was part of the family, and I shared the eulogy with the family. And the father mentioned the fact that my great-grandfather was the grandfather of that group especially. So I was given that privilege to share. And Joel Mastery today, he mentioned that he loves reading eulogies because that was the introduction to his sermon. See, so I met this young boy. He came. Shaul, he's a Dinka boy. He was coming to comfort the family. He has known this family because they are Christian, same fellowship with Wang. And his wife didn't have a child 3 years ago. And just yesterday, he said, just suddenly God gave them a child. And she is now 1 year old. I was praying for this young man. So there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. And so what is your Philistines? Who is your Philistines? Tonight, all I want to do tonight is to say to you, come, 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 let us go over. This is what he says in verse 1. Come, let's go over to the Philistines' outpost on the other side. Let us cross. Let us just move from where we are by faith. We will see God's power. Also in verse 6, he says, come, let us go over to the outpost of the uncircumcised. So he put one more thing. He described these people. Let us come. So tonight I just invite you, just leave your own thoughts. There's nothing in anything that is not of God that can help you, that can change your situation. My situation can never be changed. Yesterday, today, as I was, David Palmer was going with his wife, and then they were going. I said, "Oh, David," and I said to him, "I'm specialized in running after you always and say, yeah, stop, because I will be speaking to someone." And then we realized that David is going, and then we want to tell him something. And I said, "Oh, David, I want to tell you these things." He said, "Oh, are you thinking of?" About going to Saudi Arabia. Again, I said, well, look, I'm thinking about a lot of things, but what matters is what the Lord is saying. That was what I said to him. You see, come, let's go. Let us just think about what is matter to the Lord. Come. And then he repeated these things again. Jonathan said, come, then we will cross over towards the men and let them see us. You see, come. Another thing I want to say to you, whenever God is going to do something for you significant, he will give you a sign. He will give you a sign. Always to tell you that this is the Lord. He will give you a sign. Because even how would he know that? How did he know that the Lord, if the Philistines, they say to them, come over, or if they say, oh, we are coming to you. You see, how did he know this? Many times, we will be led by his sovereignty, by his Holy Spirit, to do something that we may not fully understand why we do this. But that might be the very thing that God, the action that God wants us to take so that he can meet us. I think maybe we are not moving from the places where we are just really staying. In our minds, in our hearts, we are not making steps of faith. We are not taking risk. And the risk, to take risk with God, is something wonderful. God will honor this. Just try to give away half of your salary and you see what the Lord may do. But today, we keep everything and yet we are wanting, we are in need. Isn't it? How about that? It's just ridiculous. It's just you are being given weapons that are not appropriate for a war. So the Christian walk we are trying to walk, if we walk it this way, we can't win. Because it's a walk that we need to walk in a certain way. And so that is what the Holy Spirit is trying to press upon our hearts so that we will be encouraged. How many of you today would say to me, I'm struggling spiritually? We struggle because we are not taking risk like Jonathan. This is what he said. Let me explain it. Just say it, and I say one more thing, and I finish. Jonathan said, come then, we will cross over toward the men, and let them see us. Let them see us. You see, a mighty army, let them see us. You see, if you are not shielded by the power of God, how can you show yourself to an enemy? You see, that is powerful with armory. If you don't have this wonderful testimony in your heart that this God will never give up on you. As you want to exalt him after all these commands to wipe out this nation was his to fulfill his commands. He says to them, to his boy, let us go over toward the men and let them see us. Let them see us. Just ordinary people. Let them see us. Let the world see us. Not with big gowns like bishops or anything to say that we are mighty people of God. Just to see us like this. With no 60,000 army. With no millions of dollars. Just let them see us. Just only with faith. With faith in our God. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come, come, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. That will be a sign. You see, how does he know that God gave him this sign? May the Lord give each one of us a sign. A sign. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistines' outposts. Look, said the Philistine, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come, the word of God is being fulfilled. The sign is true. Come up to us and we will teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Because there's nothing, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. This is what I want to finish with. Nothing can hinder the Lord. The Lord from saving, whether by many. So when you think about this, this is a very difficult saying, isn't it? Because why nothing can hinder the Lord, whether by many? This is the hardest thing, because many people may think because we are many, that is why we have defeated our enemies, isn't it? But It's not like that. It's God wants to be gracious to his own people. And so it's still, if it is in the will of God, his people will overcome. But the hardest is to save with few, isn't it? The hardest is to save with few. So what matters here is faith in God, isn't it? It's not whether many or few. But if you have faith, even few, even miraculous and wonderful, it's good. After all, it's Jonathan and his friend are taking credit for that. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Whether you think you have something that God can use to bless you, or you have nothing for God to use to bless you. After all, he can bless, for he has all the power to do what is pleasing in his eyes. All that he needs from us is to believe and to dare to take risk, because we are led by the Spirit and we can defy. And if we are willing to not to be discouraged by those who think they know better, because the most people who can discourage us are those who think that they know better. But when we say that, just let them see us like this. They don't like that. But the Lord wants us really to be ourselves and to be just ordinary people, to have only faith, because nothing can hinder God from blessing you. Let us pray.